wall we can wait. After 10,000 years, it's still us against them, and my heroes have always died at the end. So who's going to account for these sins? And I don't know.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, who was the former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the Bureau of Intelligence and Research at the United States Department of State from 1991 to 2003, and is an emeritus professor at the University of Illinois, where he directed the program in South Asian and Middle East Studies. Dr. Weinbaum was a senior fellow at the United States Institute for Peace and held Fulbright Research Fellowships for Afghanistan and Egypt. He has authored numerous books, including The Future of Afghanistan. Welcome to Background Briefing, Marvin Weinbaum.
Yes, hello there.
And then at this point, the secret NATO report that was leaked to the BBC, that's based upon thousands of interviews with captured Taliban fighters, it reveals a kind of pervasive confidence amongst the insurgents that they will win what has become the U.S.'s longest war. Does that mean that we've lost it?
No, I don't necessarily think so. What the NATO report is saying is this is what we have gathered in our interrogation of these many Taliban prisoners. And they're not saying this is the conclusion that we have reached. And they do warn us in the report, at least certainly the reaction to the report, that it ought to be taken as information, important information to be sure, but not necessarily a judgment, because many of these people obviously are going to put the best face on what they're doing. So I think we do have to take it seriously, though.
Well, what do you take away from it then, having been a long, long student of both Afghanistan and Pakistan?
Yeah, there's not, you know, it confirms a great deal that we already know. We've said in the past that there's a very close relationship between the Pakistani security forces, the ISI, which is the military branch, a security branch of the military, and the Taliban, and the insurgent movement in general. This takes a step further because there are a lot of very graphic illustrations in there about the kind of contacts that they have, and suggests even it's more than looking the other way. It even suggests collusion, where they're actually directing operations against us. That's awfully serious.
Well, of course, the report was leaked at the very moment that the Pakistan foreign minister shows up in Kabul. Of course, she says of the report, oh, it's old wine in an even older bottle. But there's been so much, starting with Admiral Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs and others, talking about Pakistan's duplicity and stabbings in the back, etc. The Pakistanis just make the same tired denials. Is this one of those kind of 900-pound gorillas that sits in the living room that nobody wants to talk about?
Well, you know, it's very interesting here. I had the impression, certainly when I was in government and since as well, that when I speak to people in the foreign ministry, I'm talking about people at a high level, and they deny a great deal that involves the ISI. My impression is that the fact is they're not in the loop. They're outside the loop. They don't know the full extent themselves of the involvement, because the ISI is very compartmentalized. And so even certain parts of the ISI may not know what other parts are doing. So she's got plausible deniability, as do most of these officials. They're really out of the loop. And I often felt when I was doing the intelligence that I knew more about what was going on in the relationship in the 90s, say, and before 2001, than they did.
Well, but having on the ground Taliban fighters talking about how they report and are coordinated by the ISI, that's the kind of intelligence that's pretty hard to refute, isn't it?
It is if it comes from a large number of people. And if they also can get rather detailed in the way in which they report this. For example, they have said that the Haqqani group, which is the most lethal of these insurgent groups, that the Haqqani group's leaders live with this protection of the ISI in an area that we would, we would love to know about, because we've been trying to target them for some time.
But it's a Pakistani air base, isn't it, that they live on?
Well, it's close by. I didn't catch that it was an air base, but the point is that this is very believable given what we saw with Osama bin Laden. It fits in the same pattern. So yes, this is the case, and what it does. I think the most serious part of the report, by the way, is the sense here that what they're doing is they're going to wait us out. And it really throws cold water on any notion that we're going to negotiate with them a political solution in advance of our military withdrawal at the end of 2014. And I suspect now that that's the real blow to the State Department, which has been putting so much stock in trying to find a compromise. Clearly, these people, from everything we have in this report, are not interested in compromise.
What did you make Marvin Weinbaum, about Secretary of Defense Panetta's recent remarks that the U.S. might be planning on getting out of Afghanistan earlier than 2014?
Well, I think this is quite interesting, because we've always accepted now since the a year ago, October, that NATO had decided on that closure date at the end of 2014 when our ground troops would be gone. What we didn't know was the pace of the withdrawal and what shape it would take. And what Panetta is saying here is that we're looking to move troops out perhaps faster than people thought, and also that we want to move away from a combat role sooner than certainly General Allen and a great many of the military, I'm sure, would prefer to see. And, of course, they're not going to be able to speak out and say that. So I would suspect there are a good many people in the military now who are quite unhappy with those remarks that he had in trying to project what was going to be the disposition of our forces in the coming 2 years.
And Dr. Marvin Weinberg, what do you make of yesterday's statement by a Taliban spokesman that denying that there was any movement on talks with Saudi Arabia and the Afghan government? Also, a Taliban spokesman also denied that they are preparing to meet with representatives of the government of Hamid Karzai, who they denounce as a puppet.
This is very significant, because when they agreed to set up the office in Doha, in Qatar, the Gulf state of Qatar, when they agreed to do this, they were pretty explicit in saying that we don't want to talk to the Afghan government. What we want to talk to is the United States. And what they want to talk about, if they finally begin to talk seriously, is they've got only one question on their mind. When are you leaving? And if you don't leave sooner, we expect that we know that you'll be largely gone in 2.5 years or so, and we'll wait you out. So that seems to be their mode. What they're saying at the same time is that we don't want to buy in to a power sharing arrangement with this government. We don't want their constitution. We don't want a democratic government. We want a Sharia government. And they have deliberately cut out the Karzai regime from this. And at the same time, we have said all along, although we haven't behaved that way, that what we want, this was to be Afghan-led. This ultimately was going to be an Afghan agreement that would be reached. Well, it's very clear now that the Taliban sees no reason to do this. They're not interested in having this ministry or that ministry, that appointment. That's not what they're all about. This is a group that has a vision for what a future is like, which does not include the kind of political setup that we, or anything like the political setup that we have right now.
So the old expression of the Taliban's that you have the watches and we have the time. But on the other,
they feel they have time and God on their side, and I would stress the God because they feel that they have a sacred mission, and they have when we try to negotiate with them in the late 90s and up till 2001.
Right. Well, but they probably are pretty comfortable with the Saudis, though, right? They've, one, the Saudis supported the Taliban, and two, Saudi Arabia is a kind of theocracy of. Led by, I mean, they have a royal family, you know, but they do have a theocratic layer.
I see, the Saudis are close to the Pakistanis. Right. The Saudis did recognize the Taliban regime in 96, but they backed away from them because as they got closer to al-Qaeda, obviously, this turned off the royal family, which was a target of al-Qaeda. So I would not characterize it that way. The Saudis would love to play an intermediary role if they could, because then they could influence the outcome. But I don't see at this point, given what I've just said here about their trying to write off this government, this constitution, this political system, that there's anything for them to talk about, even if they were to get together in Saudi Arabia.
So, Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, there's an echo here, of course, this being our longest war of Vietnam. And I recall Dr. Kissinger talking about when we were talking about getting out of Vietnam, the phrase a decent interval. It doesn't seem to me that there's going to be a decent interval here if the Taliban want it all. And if what we put in place is so shaky as it appears to be, and yesterday, another NATO soldier, an American Marine, in fact, was killed by an Afghan soldier that he was training. And that's become kind of a pattern here for the longest time. It's actually the fourth incident in a month where Afghan police or army soldiers have fired on and killed their Western allies. So that doesn't give you a sense that this is an army that's one can hold its own against the Taliban, let alone whether in fact it's loyal to anybody or the government if they keep killing the Americans. So what's your sense of whether there'll be a decent interval?
It certainly has enormous impact on public opinion here. And it has to be registering with them as well. We've put all of our stock here on building their security forces, their police, but particularly their army, to put them in a position where they could step up as we step down. Without that, we really don't have a way out, certainly no decent interval. What we want at the end of the day, really, is to try to leave behind an Afghanistan that's good enough, not what we would all have preferred, but one that's able to stand on its own and able to fend off the Taliban. It was predicated, though, on us having some important military victories between now and the end of 14. At this point, one can't be too sanguine about that being the case. So what I am concerned about, though, is that as people recognize now how the odds are against us, that we're going to be able to have a decent, respectable withdrawal here, as well as a responsible one, that as they do that, that they also take into consideration what the consequences are if it's a complete failure. And unless you factor that in, I think you can't really judge with how much it's worth seeing this through, at least, to see whether there's any possibility that we can have good enough. What I'm talking about here is the almost probability that if things come apart, it's not that the Taliban are simply going to walk in and take over and things go from one regime to another. We're going to have a civil war. Everybody agrees that that is what's looming. And if we're going to have a civil war, we're going to have a humanitarian crisis. There'll be 2 to 3 million Afghans who will try to leave the country, fearing retribution. This will be a global humanitarian crisis. So, with that in mind, and also the fact that Al Qaeda, for example, which the report suggests here, really isn't a factor. That's not to say that if the Taliban were to come back and were facing a civil war, that they wouldn't draw on Al Qaeda, but not just Al Qaeda, all of the jihadi organizations in Pakistan, such that it's whether they want it or not, this becomes a larger Islamic movement against the Northerners, which is what it'll turn out to be. All of this bodes, I think, very badly for American interests in the region, where we've got to be concerned about the stability of Pakistan. And we are also would not be anxious to see a proxy war emerge, because that civil war could very easily turn into a proxy war where Iran and Russia and India are on one side, and the Taliban, backed by Pakistan and Islamic groups, radical Islamic groups, are on the other side. This makes for a very messy future.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Dr. Marvin Weinbaum.
Surely.
Again, I was speaking to Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, who was the former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the Bureau of Intelligence and Research at the United States Department of State from 1991 to 2003, and is an emeritus professor at the University of Illinois, where he directs the program on South Asian and Middle East Studies. He was a senior fellow at the United States Institute for Peace and held Fulbright Research Fellowships for Afghanistan and Egypt, and has authored numerous books, including The Future of Afghanistan. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with the former head of Planned Parenthood and the former head of Catholics for Choice.